Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
So if you could turn your Bibles, in your Bibles, to Acts chapter 7. Your bulletin says Hebrews 7. But today we're doing something different, and you'll see why. You know, with everything going on, again, Acts chapter 7, many of you know the story of Stephen and the martyrdom of Stephen. And so, you know, as a Calvary Chapel, as you know, we teach through the Bible. That's the title now. So your title is wrong in your bulletin. It's "We Won't Be Silenced." And you know, we go through the Bible, and nowadays the news cycle is so fast and furious, isn't it? I mean, you can't even keep up with it. If we try to do a topical study every single Sunday based on the previous week's news, you'd never actually go through a book of the Bible because there's so much happening, which is really an indication, isn't it, for end times and so forth. There's a lot happening, and it's pretty exciting, and yet there's a lot of pain and sorrow that comes with it. And with this past week, just the heaviness of the week, and yet in some ways the miracles of this week, it's such a phenomenon that I was reading through, I had Hebrews chapter 7 all planned in the beginning of the week. And all of a sudden, as the week went on, I'm like, this isn't for today. You know, we have to teach on the freedom of speech. You know, with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and the increase of violence to suppress freedom of speech, especially freedom to speak truth, is really just horrendous, isn't it? And yet at the same time, we know through scripture, and we're going to see in this account of Stephen, how when persecution presses down, faith expands. It's just something that happens. The courage in every believer suddenly rises up, and we all rise to the occasion. This is such a phenomenon. I was just shocked to see all around the world. Do you see all the countries that are having prayer vigils for Charlie Kirk's family and also for the spread of the gospel? It's really amazing. We have in England, did you see that? It's like a million person march right across the bridge. It's amazing. It didn't even like cave in. It's just expansive. And South Korea, they're just having prayer vigils in Australia, Italy. I saw this one worship service that was just so joy-filled of young people coming to the Lord. And you don't know how awesome that is for old heads like myself. And I'm not too old, but I'm getting there. For us to see young people experiencing salvation and experiencing Jesus Christ, to us, we just thrive on that. Because that's what it's all about, is passing the mantle to the next generation. I mean, I'm saved. I have nothing to worry about. I am born again. I'm going to heaven, okay? But to see the next generation saying, "Yes, Lord, I want your will for my life. I want to follow you. I want to live for you. I need your spirit in me to carry me through to eternity." To see that happen is so exciting. And certainly Charlie Kirk had an amazing role in that. Now, if you're here saying, "Well, this whole thing is going to be about a man," no. In the end, it's about Jesus Christ. It really is, right? It's not about a person, okay? But this is certainly a spark or a catalyst for something that is going on in this world, in this country, but even around the world. And it's finally, it's like we've had enough of trying to shut us up, you know? Because the world needs to know that the deceiver, the Satan, the devil, he is a liar. And the first thing he wants to do is suppress the truth. You read through Romans 1, and that's what happened to humanity. We suppressed the truth. And what happened? The decadence of humanity, right? And so today we're going to look at this. of this idea of what the Lord says about freedom of speech, and also what we're to do in this time and season. And you know, this message, I just want to say, isn't about like getting us all filled with angst and anger and like, yeah, they can't do this to us. It's not that at all. It's actually almost the opposite. What do we do in this time? How do we steward this time, this epic time frame in humanity? Really, I mean, we need to be ministers of peace, right? We need to carry the love of Christ in the midst of turmoil. Let the devil show his cards, reveal himself on how fearful he is about the truth getting out about humanity. Amen? Amen. And so, as we're thinking about this, you know, I've been listening to Charlie Kirk for years on podcasts and on the YouTubes and all those things. And I think a lot of people do have the wrong idea of him because of the mass media are always saying he's hateful, he's this, he's that, he's racist. He's such a bunch of malarkey. It really is. If you've ever listened to him for any time, you could realize he was always so gracious. All he wanted to do is debate ideas and discuss ideas, challenge people, especially kids in college who are being indoctrinated, right, of the lies of the enemy. He wanted to challenge their thinking. And for that, of course, he lost his life, but he also met a lot of resistance all along the way, okay, constantly. And he spoke of a variety of things. And, you know, it's not about issues. It's about salvation. But certainly there's some issues, there's some things that the Lord tells us in his word that we as believers gravitate towards or support or assert. One is the unborn. We believe that the Lord cares about the unborn, okay? And to him, they are human, okay? He knew Jeremiah before he was ever in the womb. John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb when he heard Mary, the mother of Jesus, walk into the room. So there's so much evidence throughout Scripture that the Lord has always known us before we were even in the womb, right? So the Lord cares about the unborn. The Lord cares about marriage, one man and one woman. I mean, that's almost like, you know, you're walking on thin ice. You start talking about basics that are scriptural. They're all throughout the Bible, but people don't even know it. So if they don't know how the Lord feels about things, they really don't know the Lord. And suddenly the enemy can use ignorance to bring division and separate Christianity because they don't know what God thinks of these things. You know, how the Lord feels about transgender, you know, how it is defiling and debasing the Lord's structure for humanity and his design. I mean, this is not what the Lord wants people to be defiling themselves, because basically they're saying, Lord, you messed up when you made me, okay? I reject your order of humanity and your order of creation, okay? And so these are things that Charlie spoke about, but even believers talk about this in the community, but we're really getting more and more, in some cases, fearful or timid, because we know it's just going to strike it like a flame and erupt into this, I shouldn't have said that, but like in the end, it's not about any of those things, it's about Jesus Christ. But these are still things that God cares and thinks about, right? And so we want to think like him. In fact, the word says we have the mind of Christ, you know? And how the Lord feels about, you know, work, you know? In fact, you know, he believes that anyone who can work should work. You know, you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, that's pretty stern, isn't it? Right? He who does not provide for his own family has rejected the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Boom. Yeah, that's biblical. That's in the Bible, right? So these are things that you just don't hear anymore because it's politically incorrect. Now, it's not about any of these things that bring salvation. It's about Jesus Christ. Even saying that Jesus is the only way. You know, there's churches that don't believe that. They believe, well, there could be a lot of ways. I don't know. How can I know? Well, the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I mean, that's pretty clear, you know? And so he is the only way. And yet when you get on the street, you know, we do a variety of street witnessing and you're talking to people, you could tell them about the love of Christ, but then they always want to bring in an issue to talk about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like whether it's homosexuality, whether it's transgender, whether it's whatever, they want to bring an issue to the table to see where you stand. And it's right then I start to think, well, I really want them to get saved. I don't really want to go there. I want to kind of like maybe even appease them a little bit just to get through that question. But you know what? It's not doing anyone any favors, you know? I mean, the world calls this hate speech, telling how God feels about things. I call it love speech. Really? It's loving them. Telling them the truth is loving them. But anymore, we're just so concerned about the outburst or the backlash. And in some cases now, arrest or violence or assassination. And so I really believe we are on the threshold of a great awakening around the world. I really do. I think that the assassination of Charlie Kirk is going to bring out a spirit of martyrdom. And you know, martyrdom really first and foremost means actually messenger without any fear, you know? And I believe it's just going to spark so much around the world that the believers are just going to say, yeah, I won't be silenced. No. In fact, I have truth on my side. I could speak truth. You know, as we're thinking about this, do you remember in the Bible any time that freedom of speech was suppressed? In the New Testament, all the time. All the time. The whole New Testament is about, you know, trying to speak truth to humanity and it being suppressed or trying to be silenced, right? But even in the Old Testament, in fact, even in Israel itself, do you remember when Jezebel and Ahab, Ahab was a king of Israel and he married a Sidonian woman named Jezebel. And you, even if you don't read the Bible, you know that name doesn't sound like it's a good name. Jezebel, right? And yet Jezebel, the first thing she did, because she worshiped Baal, this false, evil, wicked god. In fact, do you know any idols they were worshiping were all demons? I mean, the word actually spells that out, that it was demonic, right? And so she executed all of the prophets of Israel and brought forth her own prophets of Baal, which really didn't have any prophetic utterance, of course, for Yahweh. And so she destroyed the prophets. That's suppression of speech. Freedom of speech is being quenched or crushed, right? And then another one is when they were exiled. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know, no, we're not going to bow to that idol that Nebuchadnezzar built. Well, then you're going, okay, in the fire of it, the oven of fire. We're throwing you right in there. And do you remember what happened? They threw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, and suddenly Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a minute. There's four people in there. Who's the other one? It looks like the Son of God. Well, revelation to Nebuchadnezzar, because the Lord stepped into that, and not even a hair on their head was singed. And then Daniel refusing to pray to Darius, and instead he continued to pray to the Lord, and he was thrown into the lion's den, only for the Lord to muzzle the lion, and he suffered no harm at all. But those who were setting him up for destruction, they actually were all thrown into the lion's den. And so the Lord always knows how to rescue his saints, but sometimes it's by the Lord's design. You know, all of our days are numbered. I believe that. I don't believe someone took Charlie's life, but the Lord always knew how many days Charlie had on the earth. He knows how many days we have on the earth. And I always just think of this, that how do I want to go out? I want to go out in a blaze of glory. And that doesn't necessarily mean being martyred, but I don't want to go out timid, that's for sure. You know, he's given us a spirit of power, love, and sound mind or self-discipline. You know, that's fearlessness, you know, and that's what he wants for us. But there's also one story in the New Testament that I'd like us to just take a look at, and it's Stephen in chapter 7. And just to set this up briefly, it was the early church, okay? And the Lord had already ascended to heaven, and the church was growing in Jerusalem. And you know, it's funny, in the Great Commission, he said, no, go now to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout all the world and spread the gospel. But what did they do? They stayed in Jerusalem. You know, that's what we have a tendency to do. We kind of stay in our comfort zone, right? And so they stayed there. And so, you know, the Lord was going to use the martyrdom of Stephen to actually expand the gospel. Because what happened is when Stephen gets stoned to death, people just ran. But as they ran from Jerusalem, they spread the gospel everywhere, you know? So the Lord is using this assassination of Charlie Kirk to spread the gospel everywhere. In fact, you know what Jill just told me this morning? He used to have 1.5 million followers. This morning, he was at 11 million. He's probably at 15 or 20 by now. I mean, this is epic. This is epic what's happening here, right? And it's because, you know, when finally the scales are just fall off our eyes and we realize, wait a minute, there's an enemy here. And it's not people. It's not people. It's a spiritual realm. We know that. In fact, Ephesians 6:12 says, our warfare is not, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, okay? But what do we wrestle against? Principalities, we're not going to dissect all them. Powers, okay? Rulers of the darkness in this age. Now, Paul wrote that in his age. Well, guess what? The ruler of the darkness in this age is still at it, right? And then finally, and spirits of wickedness in heavenly places. So our warfare isn't people. And we know that. That's why prayer matters, because we can pray and tear down these strongholds. So anyway, let's look at Acts chapter 7 just for a couple of minutes here. Verse 51. Oh, wait, sorry. Actually, can you start at the end of chapter 6? So Stephen is chosen because he's spirit-filled. He's on fire. But guess what they chose him to do? Serve tables. You know, you could serve anywhere, like Jerry just shared. You know, anywhere you serve, you are a holy fire in that environment. And sometimes the Lord just puts you somewhere just to start to, you know, ignite your flame a little bit. And then he's going to lead you into something else. But anyway, so the end of 6, verse 8, says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. What's the next thing? Let's kill him. Right? We can't debate truth because we're from lies. We're the our father is the father of lies. We can't debate this thing out. So let's silence you. Let's just shut you up. Okay, that's what's happening here. And so, in verse 11, and then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses. You know, that's happening all the time. The news media, the mainstream media are a bunch of liars. They really are. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place. And the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat at the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel, which is interesting. We're not going to dissect that part. But so, you know, they started making up lies. and they started saying things he said out of context. Does that ever happen? Taking a little slither, let's work around this and just like highlight this one little part that can make people hate him, okay? And that's what the enemy does for believers, you know? He sets us up, and if people are not willing to fully listen, they're gonna believe a lie, you know? So anyway, so let's go into 7 and finish this portion. So Stephen goes into the whole history of Israel and telling them, like rehashing the whole history, only to get to the point of the Messiah. And then he says, "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets," freedom of speech, speaking on behalf of God, that is, "which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, and whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of the angels and have not kept it." And then here we go. Here's the execution, the assassination. 54. "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him and with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" 57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopping their ears." We don't want to hear the truth. "And ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Meaning, in earthly terms, he died, right? And so, as Dan was saying earlier, forgiveness. Forgiveness is key here, because isn't it interesting that Stephen would almost quote Jesus on the cross? "Lord, forgive them, they know not what they do. Receive my spirit." I mean, it's so beautiful how Stephen, in the midst of that martyrdom, immediately his spirit connected with Christ. And he actually repeated Christ's own words on the cross, you know? And so, as we think about this and we remember, you know, how Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit and confronted them with the truth, saying something that was very politically incorrect, okay? "All of your fathers killed freedom of speech. You didn't allow the prophets to speak on behalf of God, and you actually killed them." Just like Abraham and, Ahab and Jezebel. You killed the prophets because you just couldn't hear the truth. And that's what this world is trying to suppress, the truth. But the Lord is busting through. Finally, people are waking up and saying, "Wait a minute, who is silencing us? Why can't someone just say something? Even if you disagree, why can't they say it? You know, why does it have to be silenced?" Right? And so, what should we do? Because we will be persecuted. It's a promise. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3, 12 and 13, it says, if you have that verse, it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And so he's saying you will suffer persecution. Just brace yourself and rise up. You know, Jesus said himself to his disciples, "In this world you will have troubles, But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And that's how we overcome, by our faith, right? And so we will suffer persecution. So what should we do? The last thing we should do is be angry, mad, and hateful. Because remember, the person you're talking to is being guided by a spirit. It's not even them. The Lord loves them. He loves them so much. James, remember what James said in 1:19-20? He actually said, be swift to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry, because the wrath of man never produces the righteousness of God. So us getting angrier and angrier, saying, you can't do this, the enemy is like, yes, beautiful. I got them right where I want them to be. No one's going to be able to discern the good guys from the bad, because we're all acting like the same, you know? So we really have to be discerning and filled with love. We have to speak the truth with love. I love this verse that says, that speaks to this. Matthew 5, 44, 45, 45. And this was, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now, what does that last part mean? It means he loves the person you're speaking to just as much as he loves you. He wants to save them just like he saved you. You know, they're not the enemy to him. He loves them. He died for their sins too. Now, until they receive them, they aren't a child of God. And that's John 3:18, you know. But maybe you're that ambassador that's going to invite them into the house of God. So we have to see that person as and have pity for them, because they've been deceived. They've been manipulated by the devil, and they're twisted in their thinking. But maybe you're the voice of truth. Maybe you're the one that's going to bring them into the kingdom. Another verse that speaks to this, you know, overcoming evil with good, Romans 12:2 says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We're the good guys. We are. Why? Because God is good and he lives in us. You know, we are the good guys. And I know that sounds so like, well, what makes you? Because the Lord is good. We work for him. We're on his team. We're his army. We're his soldiers. We're his, you know, royal priesthood. We're his kings and kingettes, you know, on this earth. But to represent his kingdom. So we have to have love for people. It's amazing what love does. When someone can be so bitter and angry, I've seen it time and time again, so wrought with just hatred and all this stuff, and just words of love, and they can really see in your eyes that you care about them. Amen. You don't hate them. You know, it's not their fault they've been manipulated in this world to believe all these lies. But you're the one the Lord has sent in that very moment of time. We have to minister the moments. We're in a moment right now. We have to be ministers of this moment, don't we? Amen. And then the next thing, we have to speak the truth in love, but also not have fear. You know, sometimes, you know, we can either be fearful that we're going to lose it on somebody. Oh, I better just walk away because I'm really feeling angry. Well, maybe you do need to walk away and pray, you know, because we want to have a right heart towards people. And if you feel yourself getting filled with anxiety and emotions and all this, you could just step away and just pray, Lord, just help me minister this moment. Help me actually represent you, because you're hurting more than I am right now, Lord. You love this person more than I do, even. Help me in this very moment, right? So we can't be afraid. And I love Matthew 10:28. The Lord says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, what does that mean? Are we always supposed to be fearing God? Well, there is a healthy fear of God. In fact, the beginning of understanding is the fear of God, right? So when you finally realize, there is hell to pay if I do not know the Lord, that's a healthy fear. But then when we come to him and we fall in love with him, what perfect love casts out fear, right? In fact, now that fear of the Lord is something that protects us, right? And the only fear we have then of the Lord is fear of missing out on what he wants to do. I don't want to miss out on what God wants to do in my life. I don't want to miss out on that. It's no longer serving God because I'm waiting for like a smack across the head. You know, it's not that. You're serving God because you love him so much. And you're like, Lord, what else? What else are we doing now? What? I don't want to miss out on anything you're doing. Lord, show me. Because where you're at, that's where real living is, Lord. I want to live that abundant life. But another part of this is that, you know, we're not to fear because we have weapons of the truth, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and nothing can come against us. You know, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And it's speaking about the Antichrist. So all those spiritual realms, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, and the spirits of wickedness in heavenly places, they can't touch you. You are impervious to the devil. Do you realize that? You know, things can happen in this life, okay? And we live in a fallen world, and we're not going to go down that road at this moment, but the devil cannot oppress you unless you let him. And he can never possess a believer because you're already possessed by a spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit, right? He's the one who lives in you. He doesn't let other spirits come in and live with him, right? Anyway, I'm trying to think of something funny, but it doesn't matter. But we have weapons that are spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 6 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning fleshy, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish, now we're going to dissect that word in a second, all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you know what that means? That punish means really to vindicate. You know, when the Lord gives you a word to share and it's truth, and you're just sharing the truth in love, someone who is speaking on behalf of the devil or the liar because they've been manipulated, their wisdom cannot stand against yours because you have God's wisdom. And that's a disobedient spirit that's causing them to speak. Now, if you usually watch any of those debates, typically the people just walk away with a bunch of, you know, swearing and hateful things, and because it's like, I can't compete with truth. So I just have to be angrier, nastier, and more hateful, you know? And so the Lord has given us this moment in time to really represent him, to love, speak in truth, and not be afraid. He says, what I tell you in the quiet, stand up on the roof and shout it out, right? Because that's what the Lord wants us to do. You know, I believe this is a moment of time, and if the worship team can come forward, I believe this is a moment of time where really the courage of every believer is just going to rise up. And you know what happens? You ever notice when, if you're the only one who's a believer in the room from what you could see, it can be fearful to speak up, can it? And it, because you don't want to be the odd one. You don't want to be the one that everybody murmurs about. No, they're a weirdo or whatever, you know. So our instinct is to just be quiet, even though we've been reading that we're not supposed to. But what happens when one person just starts speaking out and you're like, yeah, what he said, what she said, right? I agree with that. And then all of a sudden, yeah. Well, that's what's happening right now around the world. Suddenly people are saying, I'm not going to be quiet. No, I'm going to speak the truth because the truth will set you free, right? When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And the world is so shackled with lies. They're under the yoke of the evil one. In fact, the word says actually the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And I know I've shared this before, but you know what that word sway means? It's actually what they say when a mom is like swaying a baby. And it can also be a cradle, you know? Well, the devil is just nurturing this generation. No, just shh. Just believe me. Don't believe them. Don't believe the good guys. Just trust me. I mean, that's what the world is being indoctrinated into, a demonic philosophy. And yet we have the words of truth, right? And so we need to just speak it out and shout it out. You know, this, what has happened to Charlie Kirk and others, okay, is just a kernel of wheat. Remember what Jesus said in John 12, 24 to 26? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, but he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In other words, he's saying, don't live life for your comfort zone, for what you were comfortable with. Live my life. Live my life. That's the eternal life he wants you to live, is to live his life, to speak out. And you know, this seed that died and fell into the ground, it's just going to grow and grow and grow. It's going to be a harvest. I'm telling you, we are heading into a massive harvest, and we need to be ready. We need to be, you know, cleansed within. You know, if there's things that we're still ensnared with any type of addiction and any type of sin that's still shackling us, we need to be free of that. We need to be clear-minded and a full vessel, like Jerry was saying, a vessel that's just overflowing with goodness. We need to be ready because the Lord is counting on you. He's counting on you to speak out for him. You are his messenger. You are his ambassador. He is sending us. Isn't that amazing? Like, I don't know if he can trust me. Well, he chose you. He trusts you. Now you have to trust him. Amen. Let's all stand up. And Lord, we just thank you that you have put us on earth for such a time as this. This epic, monumental time to bring many to you, Lord. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to just fill us. To fill us right now to complete. And if there's anyone here right now who has never given their lives to Jesus Christ, probably a lot of what I've said right now is strange and peculiar. But right now you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's so easy. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why not get saved right here, right now, on this epic time? This is the moment. Be a minister of this moment and just pray something like this. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He became my sin on the cross so that I could have eternal life. He paid for my sins, offering me forgiveness. Today, I want to receive that gift of forgiveness. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Today, I give you my life. I lay my life down for you right here, right now. And I ask you to fill me with your living spirit, your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that today, please come up afterwards. We'd love to talk to you more and give you a Bible. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance and give you peace. Father God, we just thank you that you have chosen us. for great things because you are great. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.